are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Brian Peacock. If you don't know me, former analyst, Pro Football Focus, former contributor at RotoWire, radio guy, used to work at KNBR, now doing sports and traffic reports all around the Bay Area and California and beyond sometimes. So if you think you might have heard my voice one day under the name Brian Peacock or maybe another couple of aliases that I use on different stations, really from Fresno all the way to Seattle on different stations, yeah, that probably was me. But we're talking 49ers here, the only daily San Francisco 49ers podcast around, and it's going to be a Monday mailbag show. So this is your show. Got a ton of listener questions, email and Twitter. If you ever want to get involved in any mailbag episodes or just want to say hi, hit me up on Twitter at BD Peacock or via email, lockedon49ers@gmail.com. Before we get to the mailbag, some interesting stuff from across the country in New York. Odell Beckham, his act might be wearing a little bit thin with the New York Giants. And so obviously I'm going to skip some of those mailbag questions because anything or any rumors like this start to pop up. There's always going to be a ton of questions for me here on the podcast. So I'm just going to address this at the top of the show. Giants co-owner John Mara was quoted when asked about Odell Beckham, saying that he's tired of answering questions about Beckham. He said, quote, "I mean, we're not certainly not shopping him, if that's what you're asking. But when you're coming off a season where you're 3-13 and played as poorly as we played, I wouldn't say anyone's untouchable." And when asked about taking offers for Odell Beckham, he said, "You always listen to those things, but that's not a scenario I would like to see happen." So, yeah, Odell Beckham, one of the best wide receivers in the league, might be available. Do you go after him? Well, he's heading into the last year of his rookie contract. He's in that fifth option year. He was drafted in 2014, coming off an injury in 2017. He's had some injuries in his career, too. From a character standpoint, if he is a pain in the ass, I don't think it's something that the 49ers are interested in bringing in. Talent-wise, that kind of player, absolutely. You want talented football players on your team. So what would it cost? That's one of the things. Then you have to re-sign the guy, and he's going to be asking for the moon when he becomes a free agent this coming offseason. So, you know, you can franchise tag him once. You know, I don't know. It's not as simple as saying, oh, the 49ers have to go after him because you got to sign him. You got to throw a first-round pick at him. Niners are picking in the top 10. I don't know. I don't see it happening. I don't see the Giants moving on from him unless a team, just because I don't think they're going to get the offers of what it would, you know, if you're the Giants, you're going to be asking for a ton in trade. And I just don't know if teams are going to be willing for 1 year of a guy to offer what the Giants would need to trade Odell Beckham. But it's an interesting thought, and how fun would that be to have Odell Beckham catching passes from Jimmy Garoppolo? But yeah, best not to get your hopes up for some kind of blockbuster trade of the 49ers making a move for Odell Beckham. All right, with that out of the way, let's get to the mailbag. Got a lot of 49ers related draft questions here, and it's draft season. It's about a month away. So yeah, let's do this. First of all, got a lot of questions asking for mock drafts, talking about mock drafts, giving me their own mock drafts. And yes, I do need to do a mock. It's March, man. I haven't had a mock draft in a while. So I'm going to do a mock draft probably this week, tomorrow or Thursday show. I'm not sure. I'm trying to get John Ledyard, the host of Locked On NFL Draft, to join me here on the show and talk 49ers and draft. So depending on when I get my guests lined up here, one day this week, I do want to get deeper into a little mock draft, do a 49ers 7-round mock draft, then also look at how the first round should unfold, including how the 49ers pick would look, and then maybe some picks after the 49ers. I don't know if I'll do the whole first round, but you know, give a real good idea of what the 49ers might be looking at if they were to trade up, trade down, or what they would be looking at pick number 9, and then go through all 7 rounds of a mock for the 49ers specifically. All right, let's do it for real. It is mailbag time. Let's start with email. I usually go Twitter first, so let's go to the emails first here for the Locked On 49ers mailbag and start with Kyle from Culver City. He said, "What's the bigger need, wide receiver or DB? Do you think we can get wide receiver DJ Chark from LSU in the second round, and does he fit our system?" As far as system goes, I think Kyle Shanahan can utilize any style of wide receiver, and DJ Chark is big and fast, and so absolutely he could use DJ Chark. No doubt about that. What's the bigger need, wide receiver or DB? I would say DB is still the bigger need, and I think the only evidence you need of that is that the 49ers are still poking around on some. I think Delvin Bro is a guy. There's another, who was it? There's a couple other free agent cornerbacks that the 49ers are still poking around at in free agency. And I think that tells you, one of their starters right now is Richard Sherman coming off a torn Achilles at 30 years old. So no guarantees there. The 49ers definitely need someone that can come in and start if there's an injury so they could sign another free agent cornerback and still have a need of drafting another corner who could eventually replace Richard Sherman, someone to develop as an outside corner. So I would say just as far as straight up needs go is defensive back. But do the 49ers need to add talent at wide receiver? Absolutely, because you still want to develop a talented wide receiver. Sometimes it takes wide receivers a year or two to develop. You want to have some guys ready to go when Pierre Garçon is ready to call it a career. And Chark, that pick 59, I think that's a nice sweet spot for DJ Chark. I think he's going to be a second-round pick. That's not a top-heavy wide receiver class, so it's going to be interesting to see how teams stack up these wide receivers. And when you work out like Chark did, who blazed in the 40, and he's got some good size, and he has a lot of attributes that teams like, it might falsely push him up the board a little bit. He could be one of those guys who's a surprise first-round pick in April. Email from Jason. Looks like the Rams are going all in financially and seems they have a couple of years window to get it done given how much they're spending and how that is going to affect their salary cap in the future. They have some players that are going to demand top dollar in the next couple of years like Goff and Peters. How long do you think they have before this juggernaut will last and key players are forced to get cut or traded? This is especially true if they sign Sue to anything longer than a one-year deal, which I know he would never go for. Thanks for the question, Jason. They're throwing some money out there. They're trying to build a juggernaut, like you said, and building around Goff and Gurley on offense, and then going with the new stud corners they have with Peters and Aqib Talib, and both those guys could probably be around for two more years in Los Angeles. And then if they add Sue to the mix, and apparently Sue is now down to the New York Jets have rescinded their free agent offer to Sue. That's the latest I saw. So it's down to the Rams, the Titans, and possibly the Saints for Ndamukong Suh. But if the Rams do go for that, eventually they're going to have a roster crunch as far as money because, they got to re-up Goff. But Goff can be around for three more years because he's got his four-year contract plus the fifth-year team option that they can exercise. So, 3 years before they really got to pay him mega money. If he earns that mega money, and it's looking like he might get to that point where, and just good starting quarterbacks are going to earn a mint every single time. And that's just the way we are right now in the NFL. Todd Gurley's going to come up a year before Goff as a free agent. They're going to have to pay him. So I think they've got that 2 year window of guys like Peters and Aqib Talib being around before they hit that crunch. But eventually they might run into some problems there, especially when they got to pay a mega contract in 3 years to Jared Goff. But they can still develop some talent, and if Goff is that good and Gurley is that good and they're able to draft and develop some other guys to replace eventually these big money defenders, Aaron Donald is another one. He's going to get a mega contract, one of the best defensive linemen in the NFL right now. So they're going to have to pay a lot of guys. So people like Talib and Peters are going to walk eventually, but this is a draft and develop league, and if you can't continue to draft and develop talent, you're going to be behind the eight ball anyway. But if you've got a quarterback, that's one huge step that you can continue to develop and draft and have talent come supplement your quarterback. And you just got to look at the New England Patriots to see how long that can go. Good coaching staff and a good quarterback, that can take you a long way. And even if you can't pay a lot of money to a lot of other positions, you can still be a very good football team for a very long time. And what you're talking about, we might actually see in practice with the Seattle Seahawks right now, losing a lot of their veteran pieces. So they got to build around. It's Russell Wilson's team on offense. It's Earl Thomas's team on defense. If Earl Thomas actually sticks around, rumors about him going. But we'll see how that is. And the Seahawks are going through that right now. Rams might have to go through that in a few years. It's why it's brilliant that the 49ers can pay up front for Jimmy Garoppolo. His contract numbers the next few years after this year aren't so bad. So they're not going to not hit as much of a roster crunch as some teams might, given their quarterbacks mega contracts. Let's go to Rodney. Rodney dropped three questions on me. I'm just going to skip right to number three. He says, in your early opinion, by the way, aloha, Rodney. In your early opinion, what are your thoughts on outside linebacker Jimmy Gilbert? He was a first-team Pac-12 player in his senior year. I feel he can be a deadly gunner on punt coverage team. For some reason, I think of him in the wide receiver Kasim Osgood role, special teams gunner during the Harbaugh years. So, Rodney, thank you for the questions. I loved Jimmy Gilbert coming out of Colorado last year. I thought he was a great pickup as a priority free agent for the 49ers. Good fit as that strong side linebacker. And I thought he was going to be someone who was on the practice squad and kind of get stashed for a year and get stronger. He's a very slim guy. He is kind of built like Kasim Osgood, who's an oversized wide receiver, and Jimmy Gilbert's sort of a slim linebacker. But Gilbert's season ended early. He tore his ACL last summer before he could even get into the regular season. So he was going to be on the shelf anyways. Hopefully mental reps were as good as physical reps, and he comes back strong this year. He's going to be in the mix. I think he's going to be battling with guys like Pita Taumoipinu and a bunch of other guys. Someone that's probably, the 49ers probably going to draft a couple guys, someone to play Sam's, maybe a Leo as well. So it's going to be a lot of roster battles for positions, and the 49ers are building depth throughout their roster. Have high hopes for Jimmy Gilbert. We'll see how he bounces back from that ACL injury. Hopefully he's a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger, and can make a push for making the roster. And yeah, I like your thought of him being also valuable on special teams, as well as being someone who can cover a little bit and get after the passer as a Sam linebacker. One more email here. This is from Shane in Sacramento. He says, if Barkley falls to 9, what's more likely? He's the best player available, the Niners draft him, or they trade back with the Lions, who have the need for running back for a while. Yeah, I don't think Barkley's going to get to 9, but if he does, I think before the Jerick McKinnon signing, I would have said, yeah, hey, you know, 49ers might take him if he gets there to 9. I personally don't like running backs in the top 10, but he's very similar to what the 49ers just got in Jerick McKinnon, a rich man's version, basically. And this is sort of the thing when it comes to the best available player. If the 49ers are about best available player, and I think just judging by what they're doing in free agency, they're trying to make it so they can go BPA when they're on the clock at pick 9. First of all, if someone's offering trade, yeah, you got to buy that pick. And if one of the stud players in this draft, I think there's really 3 blue chip non-quarterback prospects in this draft. It's Barkley, it's Chubb, and Nelson right now, just about on everybody's draft boards, draft media, all the stuff you're hearing from teams and rumors from teams, which probably aren't accurate. But those 3 guys, those are the blue chippers. So if one of those 3 players makes it to 9, it's going to be a pretty valuable pick. So yeah, you might want to dangle that in trade in that case, especially after the 49ers picked up Jerick McKinnon. I think they're trying to go BPA, just judging by what they're doing in free agency, unless they have an idea of who's going to be available for them and if that's going to fit a need as well. On a similar note, let's kick off the Twitter side of this mailbag with Victor. He says, knowing that Shanahan is happy playing with mid-tier guards, if Nelson is still there at number 9, would you pick him? Love the pod. Thanks from Barcelona. Shout out to Barcelona. And Victor, thank you so much for the question. Yeah, so similar idea. If Nelson is there at number 9, just like Barkley and just like Chubb, if those guys are available at number 9, that means that something crazy probably happened with quarterbacks in front of the 49ers, or there was a surprise pick or two in there that was a non-quarterback, and most likely that player will far and away be the best player on the board. So value to the 49ers, getting the best player they can and being best player available for them, and also value and trade for a team coming up. I don't think Shanahan necessarily wants mid-tier guards. I think he wants good players across his team, but generally paying for that is probably where, you know, philosophically maybe he thinks he can get guards later and it's not that important. But when someone who people are calling a future Hall of Fame guard is sitting there for you, do you draft someone who could be the best in their league at that position at number 9? He's the best player available. Would he go for it? I think he would. But, you know, if it's a position where they say, you know, positional value is not there, but the value of this pick and player is here, you're probably going to be fielding offers in that case. To Armand on Twitter, first time entry for me, love the podcast, and second the notion of bringing Bay Area Wink in as co-host. Thank you very much, Armand. Does Landry have more edge rush ability than Chubb? Speed, aggressiveness, moves? Heard somewhere Chubb is similar to Thomas in abilities. What are your thoughts? No, Thomas and Chubb are very different to me. When I saw Thomas coming out of Stanford, he looked more stiff and more like a wider-bodied interior type of a player, and everything, his movements-wise, was very straight-line-ish from Solomon Thomas. But Chubb, no, he can get around the corner a little bit. He plays off the edge. He displayed all the things you need to display in college that he would be asked to do in the NFL as an edge rusher. I love Chubb. He might not be as twitchy and flexible and athletic as Landry, who might be one of the most of those attributes in this draft, but he can absolutely get the edge. And one thing that Chubb can do, and this shouldn't be overlooked, a lot of times you look at pure athleticism for edge rushers, and it's kind of the same with like running backs or with a lot of positions, wide receivers. Winning with pure speed is a lot easier in college than it is in the NFL. And I want to see guys who prove they can win dirty. And what I mean by that is Chubb can win through contact. Just like you want to see a running back not just run around guys, you want to see a running back that could run through arm tackles and has a balance through the tackle, you know. And so Chubb has that on the defensive side. He can run through blockers. He's very strong in his hands, and he softens the edge. He doesn't have to go all the way around the edge because he creates a new edge with his power and with his hands and with his ability to have technique and get around an offensive tackle underneath him or around him on the outside. So, yeah, Chubb's fantastic. He's far and away the number one prospect for me for the 49ers in this draft. And if he fell, that would be an absolute coup, I think, for the 49ers. Landry's a different player, but absolutely has more athletic ability to sort of turn the corner and do that sort of stuff. But Chubb's flat out a better player in just about every other regard than Landry, in my opinion. Let's move to Aaron. Oh, this is a good question from Aaron. If you could choose between Navarro Bowman never getting hurt in Seattle, Aldon Smith never having legal troubles, or Patrick Willis not retiring, what would you choose? That's very difficult because Patrick Willis is my favorite player of those three. But Willis, even if he didn't retire, he retired because he was having some nagging injuries and he was worried he wasn't going to be the same athletic freak that he was before. So just by him not retiring, he might have been sort of deteriorating and he might not have been the same player anyway. So I'm actually going to knock that one off first. So it's between Navarro Bowman and Aldon Smith. And man, Navarro Bowman, if he never got hurt, he was such a good player. And if you already are going to lose Patrick Willis, you would love to have Navarro Bowman around for a long time. But just because of the impact that a pass rusher can have and Aldon Smith being a little bit younger, I'm going to go Aldon Smith on that one. And but that's a very tough question. Great question, Aaron. I'd like to hear what some other listeners think about that one. Navarro Bowman never getting hurt, Aldon Smith never having the legal troubles, or Patrick Willis not retiring. That's a good one. All right, we got a full mailbag today. Still plenty to go. You are listening to the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember to listen to our daily national show, Locked On NFL, hosted by Matt Williamson, as well as Locked On NFL Draft, hosted by John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema. Some fantastic shows on the Locked On Podcast Network. And on the NBA side, Locked On Warriors, hosted by Aliko Carter. All right, let's knock the rest of these questions out here. And thanks again to everybody who has been and continues to be involved in all the mailbag segments here on Locked On 49ers. To Anthony, what would you think if the 49ers traded back to the Bills for their 12th pick and the 49ers pick up an extra second rounder this year, then the 49ers get Harold Landry at 12? That's going to go along with this next question from Michael. He says, what is your dream scenario for the draft, in particular in the first round, that they stay at 9 and have a stud fall to them, trade up, or trade back and gather more picks? All right, so the scenario that Anthony laid out there, trade back with, say, the Bills at pick 12, so you're only dropping back a few spots, get a nice extra pick there, and then still take Harold Landry. I think that would be probably the second most favorable scenario for the 49ers on draft day. I think number one, though, would be Bradley Chubb falls to pick 9. Boom, you turn in the card, done. And, you know, you can try to trade up later from the second round and try to get some other picks earlier in the second round if you don't want to sit back in 59 and wait all that way between 9 and 59. But, man, if Bradley Chubb is there, you turn it in and you don't worry about it unless someone just gives you an amazing return. But even with that, it's like, man, the pass rushers and defensive ends around the league that are as good as I think Bradley Chubb is going to be, it's just you have to pay them so much in free agency. They're so hard to come by. They don't get available. They don't hit the free agent market. You draft Chubb and you're done. That's scenario number one, I think. Ideally, then you move down. If he's not there, you can still get Harold Landry, who's the number two pass rusher, in my opinion, in this draft, and pick up a little bit of extra draft capital on the way. But here's the problem with Anthony's scenario and the Bills' 12th pick, is that if the Bills are trying to get up, presumably for a quarterback, they just have so much ammo. I think they would go up higher. They could get up as high as, say, they might even try to go up to number two if it's really true that the New York Giants aren't going to take a quarterback at two, which I think is kind of BS maybe. But they could go up to four very easily from 12 with the Browns. If the Browns don't want to play ball, because I think you would want to get in front of the Denver Broncos in that case. If you saw that extra quarterback that was still sitting there at four, they could pay a ton to move up to four and get in front of the Broncos. So who are you trying to get in front of? They could move up to 7, 8. I mean, they could go up higher is what I'm saying. I don't know if pick 9 would be sort of that point where they realize, okay, this is where we have to make the move because we're trying to thwart another team like the Cardinals that might be also trying to move up. But it's interesting. I don't think the 49ers are going to be in that spot where the teams want to get to a quarterback because who are they trying to get up in front of? But it is possible, and it's even possible that the Bills could sit at 12, take the best player available there. They could have like someone like Roquan Smith or Tremaine Edmonds or Landry themselves sitting there and just draft that player and then try to move up from 22 to draft one of their other quarterbacks. Say they like Lamar Jackson a lot and they think he's going to be there in the middle of the first round. Then they can move up from 22. They can move up, they can move up to 13. And go boom, boom, 12, 13, get a good player and get the quarterback there and get up in front of the Cardinals at 15. I don't know. It could go a ton of scenarios. So it's going to be a fun draft here with all the quarterbacks. And I think there is going to be some more movement. We've already started to see some of that with the Jets moving up with the Colts. Moving along here to John on Twitter. He says, Shanahan's comments about Trent Brown at the combine were very odd. Why call someone the best pass blocking tackle you've ever seen that's entering a contract year? Many would argue he's not an ideal scheme fit. Is coach building trade value? What say you? Hashtag pickles with ketchup. Okay. I don't know why you got to ruin the pickle by putting ketchup on it. You got to throw mustard on that thing, okay? I thought those Trent Brown comments were kind of odd because he was a little bit too excited to just throw that out there. And maybe he just wants to build up some confidence with his guy. And Trent Brown is a very good pass-blocking right tackle in the NFL. So maybe there's something to that. Maybe they see a guy in the draft. Maybe they're looking at a sort of a sleeper pick like Connor Williams in the first round. They know he's going to be around and they're ready to tab him as their guy and they're going to throw him out there at right tackle or something and they're going to try to dangle Trent Brown. But I think that's unlikely. That's some conspiracy stuff. I think that was Shanahan just sort of talking out his rear end a little bit and building up one of his guys. I don't see that as trying to build up because a team isn't going to listen to him say that and be like, oh yeah, you know what? I think I'm going to throw a little bit more, another extra draft pick into this trade offer to try to get Trent Brown because of what Shanahan said. I don't know. That doesn't seem like it makes much sense anyway. So it was kind of an odd comment that he made, but I'm not going to look too deep into that one. To Tanner on Twitter, what situation has to play out for Eric Armstead to be on the team and have a productive year? Huge fan of the pod and appreciate the work you guys do. Thank you very much, Tanner. Eric Armstead, number one, he's got to be healthy because we still don't even know what kind of player he is. But if he stays healthy, I think he could be a very good rotational player. And I think he's a starting capable big end. The problem is you have Solomon Thomas starting over him at big end. I think still in base, ideally they want Eric Armstead to be out there and be one of the starters on those obvious rundowns and those early rundowns and then bring in an edge rusher and have Armstead be part of the rotation on the defensive line. I think that's ideally it. But number one, he's got to stay healthy, and I think he can still be a pretty good player. And if he does that, maybe he's got some trade value if the 49ers find they have too much of similar big ends and not enough athletic pass rushers off the edge. Let's go to Skip on Twitter. He asks, who is a sleeper linebacker that you would take in the later rounds, and have you watched any tape on Georgia's safety Dominic Sanders? Figure he would be a good day three safety if we don't get Derwin. No, I have not watched Dominic Sanders yet, but I'll move him a little bit higher up in my queue. Thanks for the recommendation there, Skip. Who's a sleeper linebacker that I would take in the later rounds? There's a couple names I'm going to throw out there. Right around the fourth round, and he may end up going on day two, but he's not getting a lot of love right now in the draft media. That is Fred Warner, linebacker from BYU. He's about 6'3", 227 pounds, super athletic linebacker. I think he's an awesome fit at weak side linebacker. He almost played like a hybrid safety role in college, so he has that athleticism. He can cover really well, and he's got some ball skills in coverage, so that's exciting, and he's got a ton of athleticism ran 4.6s, had a 38.5-inch vertical, so really good combine numbers. Supreme athlete, undersized linebacker, but I think that's okay in Robert Saleh's scheme. That weak side linebacker, actually the guy he reminds me of is a guy who he coached as linebacker's coach in Jacksonville in Telvin Smith. So Fred Warner is one. He'd be an awesome fit, say, in the fourth round, and then maybe a round or two later, another undersized weak side linebacker, Sky Moore out of South Carolina. 6'2", 221 pounds or something like that. He's not huge. He's a small linebacker, and he's not the most athletic guy, but he's pretty athletic. Ran like 4.7 or something, so he didn't blaze necessarily, but he's an athletic, undersized, sort of a weak side linebacker, and that's why he's going to be available later on day three. But super instinctive player. He had record-setting production intercepting the ball as a linebacker. I think he had 14 interceptions in college. So Sky Moore, late day three guy, early day three guy, Fred Warner. Those are two names I really like at weak side linebacker for the 49ers. Dominic asks, can you please start breaking down the pass rushers in the draft? Yeah, you know what? I wanted to even talk more about that in this draft. I've still only talked about the top few guys. But yeah, I'm going to be getting into more position-specific episodes, going position by position as we get closer to the draft. Also have some experts on positions that join me on the show, too, to give another opinion of things so you're not just getting my opinion all the time on all these prospects. So, yeah, thank you, Dominic, and definitely will be going position by position as well as doing the slow-moving mock draft where I have guests who pick for a specific team. We'll go through the first round that way. To Alvin, hypothetically speaking, if both Bradley Chubb and Quentin Nelson are on the board at pick 9, which one would you take? I kind of spoiled this one already by talking about Chubb earlier. Yeah, that's easy for me. I take Chubb over Nelson all day long. But if Nelson was there and Chubb was not, I wouldn't have a problem taking Quentin Nelson at pick number 9 either. Let's keep it moving to Joseph. Question, do you think we pick up another wide receiver? I really thought Bourne showed a lot of promise last season. I felt he earned a starting role. Thanks for the great show, by the way. I love listening to it while working. Awesome. Thanks for the question, Joseph. I liked what I saw from Bourne last year. I'm not ready to go as far as saying he's going to be a starter. I mean, he was an undrafted free agent. He's a nice story. He shows an ability to get open, solid hands. He's a wide receiver 4 right now. And I know Eric Crocker, friend of the show, put an article out there at 4th and 9, and he was praising Kendrick Bourne quite a bit. Now, I like Bourne. I'm just not ready to alter my plans because of a guy who was an undrafted free agent last year and got a handful of balls thrown his way in 2017. So I like Bourne, see what he can do and earn himself a spot. I'm not ready to say he's going to be a starting caliber receiver in the NFL, and I'm not going to alter my draft plans or free agent plans around Kendrick Bourne, but he's got an opportunity to earn some time and prove he maybe is that guy in 2018. All right, let's finish it off with Hindenburg 49ers. Both my kids have names with sports-related ties. With a kid on the way, what sports-related name, first or last name, would you pick for the newest Peacock? And he gives some options here. Staley Peacock, Peta Peacock. It's got a solid ring to it. I haven't really thought about a sports-related name. Our cat is named after Vin Scully. By the way, my wife, I know it's very sad, is a Dodgers fan. I'm a Giants fan. And so that's always been a bit of contention for us, but she wanted to name the cat after Vin Scully. I thought, I love Vin Scully. If there's one thing Dodger-related I can get behind, it's Vin Scully. So our cat's named after Vin Scully. Haven't really thought about sports-related names for our son that's on the way, but I will say one of my aliases on the radio is Craig Rogers, and that's a shout-out to both Roger Craig, that was a 49ers running back, and Roger Craig, the former manager of the San Francisco Giants. So if you ever hear traffic report out there from a guy named Craig Rogers, that might be me. All right, that's a great place to end it. Thanks, everybody, for all those questions. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I'll be back tomorrow right here on Locked On 49ers. And keep those questions coming because we're going to have to hit some of that mailbag stuff with Nick on a Winky Wednesday.